This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey dreamers, it's Ladder Day, where I help you achieve your dreams. Now let's get climbing. Today on the show, I have Lisa Cummings, who is a podcast host, an entrepreneur, just really awesome person. Take it away, Lisa.
Thanks, Joe. It's always fun to be called an awesome person, and on my birthday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
I was so caught up in everything else going on that kind of passed my mind, even though I had said happy birthday already earlier.
You were early guy.
Try to be. So is there anything else that you do that I missed?
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, there are thousands of things that we all do, right? But yet they can come out as we go along. I think we're going to talk about some creative stuff today, making your dreams happen while you're in your spare time. So that'll be fun. Can always talk about spare time things that get me dreaming. It can be like me playing the drums or me chainsawing a tree or taking a walk. I find inspiration and dreams happen through all sorts of hobbies, and that's really big to inspire your business thoughts as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that is the topic for today. But before we get to the topic, let's start with a question from listener Josh, who asked, what's the best way to motivate yourself to get out of bed in the morning? So, Lisa, what do you do?
So, a couple of things. The biggest thing happens the night before. For me, it's getting enough sleep. I'm a big sleeper. I've heard people with all of these different sleep hacks, and I feel like I've tried many of them, and they just don't work for me. My body wants 8 hours of sleep. So for me, biggie is that it starts the night before. I go to bed. I give myself enough time. And then a second one that's been really awesome that I've only been able to do since I work from home is that I can start my day, and it really doesn't matter if it happens within this 30 minutes or that 30 minutes. So I wake up to the sun. I stopped using an alarm clock. And I've just been able to wake up so much more refreshed and ready to go. So that helps a ton because, you know, you have this, I'm a hater for the alarm clock. I hear that thing and I want to, smack it down to tell it to go back to its hole. So that has been a great one. And I've also been recently, I put my phone away. When I was using the alarm clock, I was using my iPhone as an alarm clock. And I was getting things like birthday alerts. My calendar alerts would wake me up at 12:45 as a reminder for what was happening at 12 a.m., you know, when it turned to the next day, somebody's birthday or an event, all day events were going off. And I had thousands of them that I would have had to turn off. And that was wrecking my sleep and made me feel really unmotivated because I would wake up unrested. So there are three: kill the alarm, get rid of the phone, and get a lot of sleep, or get the sleep your body needs. I know some people don't need as much as I do, but get what you need.
Yeah, I mean, figuring out how much sleep you need is, that can be a process in and of itself. Some of the things that I do to allow myself to wake up and be more motivated and ready to go, I found an app called Sleepy Time.
What does it do?
It's a bedtime calculator. So you can tell it one of two ways. You can tell it that, hey, if I go to sleep right now, how many sleep cycles and what time should I wake up to get the proper amount of sleep cycles?
Yeah,
one
cool.
to six sleep cycles. So, or you could tell it, hey, I want to wake up at 8 a.m. What time should I go to bed? And it'll give you the exact time with a built-in 15 minutes so you could actually fall asleep. Which for me, when I use it, I just feel great. I don't need an alarm clock. I just wake up. I don't know. The body just knows.
That's so nice. Isn't that weird that a piece of technology like that, even analog, old school, kind of alarm clock, how that starts your day off? It's like that's the first experience you have is the jolt. And if you can do something to let yourself wake up in a way that feels good to you, how that affects your motivation. It almost seems illogical that could be possible, but it's really cool how that works.
Yeah, I mean, the first couple nights I used it, I noticed a huge difference because I wasn't waking up in the middle of my sleep cycles just because, I could get an extra hour of sleep or an extra 30 minutes of sleep when really I don't need that extra 30 minutes of sleep. I just need to wake up at the end of a sleep cycle.
Yeah, Fascinating.
And combined with that, I use an app called White Noise. Me and my wife love it because I always sleep better when it when it rains. And of course, it doesn't rain every day here in South Jersey. So we use an app to simulate rain, and I'm able to fall asleep a lot quicker and stay asleep.
Yeah. Ooh, that sounds like a good one. I've used a White Noise, like the old school machine. So cool to think about it and using the app too. Cause so my living room or the outdoor patio TV is close enough to my bedroom that sometimes if my husband stays up later than I do, I can hear it and it'll keep me up. I'm just really sensitive to light and then kind of the random bass sound or something you might pick up. And if you go outside, it's not like it's rudely loud. It's just that my ears are sensitive or something. So having that white noise just levels it out and doesn't give you the jolt. So yeah, that's a great one.
Definitely helps in hotel rooms when there's people going up and down the halls and you're trying to sleep. And you know, one other thing that I do to your point of getting all the alerts in the middle of the night or text messages is I finally started using the Do Not Disturb feature on the iPhone.
Oh, smart. Well, do you have the an alarm app where it can kind of ignore the Do Not Disturb and it's that smart of a smartphone?
Oh, yeah. It'll still let the alarm go through, like to wake up in the morning, like as a just in case. But the other thing that I do is I set it so that phone calls come through. Because if someone's calling me, it's probably an emergency.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have it just so my favorites can come through because there might be an alarm. The alarm company might be calling me or, you know, somebody else might be calling. And those are really important calls that I need to get. But a text message at 2 a.m, not so much.
Yeah, this is such a good point because you get the text message, right? Even if it's at 5 a.m. by the early waker who just isn't thinking, oh, yeah, well, that person might get up at 7 a.m. or vice versa. You know, when you're sleeping, you get one at midnight for the night owl. Yeah, so blocking the text is good. And my husband was saying just what you did. He's like, I don't know about getting rid of my phone because, yeah, what if something happened to a parent in the middle of the night or something like that? You want to be able to answer. So, yeah, your solution sounds pretty smart.
Yeah. Well, originally the Do Not Disturb, I think, was only you could either not get any phone calls or only get phone calls from people that were on your favorites list or if the number called 2 times within 3 minutes. But an alarm company's not going to call me 2 times in 3 minutes. So I'm glad that they made that change. So now I could utilize that. And I do get text messages from people all, you know, sometimes all night. And, you know, sometimes I'd sleep through them, sometimes I wouldn't. And then it's hard to go back to bed.
Yeah. And I wonder how many times, even if you did sleep through it, if your body knew, you may not consciously wake up. But, you know, you made me think of another one when you mentioned the hotel room and the white noise. Another thing I've been doing, I travel a lot, and I've been packing binder clips. It sounds really silly, but I'm sensitive to light. And I find that, one, the noise is different because I live in the woods, and so I'm in a city when I travel, and I always hear more noise. So your white noise machine is awesome. I'm doing that next time. And then the other thing I've been doing is I pack binder clips, like the kind you would use on paper, but I find in hotel rooms, the curtains never close all the way. I cannot black out the room. And so I'll binder clip them together just with 2 little ones. And it's made such a difference. It takes so much light out of the room, and then I can actually sleep.
I love that idea. I thought you were going to go with using a combination of the binder clip and a piece of paper to like cover up the light and the smoke alarm.
Oh, that's funny that you say that. Now you're getting into some funny things I do at my house because I have lights on my smoke alarm, on my security alarm, and then we have a keypad because we have audio, it's like speakers built in each room so you can turn the audio up and down. So those 3 sources have lights and I see them through my eyelids. So some of them I have put like a white piece of tape so you can't really tell, but it's muting the light down. And then I pile up the covers on top of my belly to block it out, like create a shield. So super quirks of light sensitivity right there.
I'm the same exact way. I use black hockey tape, like the cloth tape. God. And usually you only need like one layer because we have the panel for our security system in the bedroom. And you know, I had to actually cover the inside of like the case for like when you close up to seal the buttons, but the buttons stay lit up all night.
Yeah.
So you had to like, we just would throw like a sweatshirt over it or something. But now, you know, it's dark enough where it's not a problem, thankfully.
Well, that's fun to hear. I thought I was the only one who could see through my eyelids.
No, I know. My wife's like, oh, you know, what's the big deal? It's just a little light. I'm like, no, it's not just a little light.
Exactly.
It's me staying up because it's coming
it's
through my eyelids.
It's me staying awake and not being motivated to wake up in the morning.
Exactly. To bring it back to the original question, which I think all these are great tips. And I hope that it helps Josh get motivated in the morning.
Yeah. Do it, Josh. Do it.
So now for our topic, which is turning your spare time into dream building, or as we say on Latter Day, climbing time, to help make your dreams come true. So what kind of stuff do you do, Lisa, to shift from, say, hey, I could just sit on the couch for an hour and watch mindless TV. I mean, not something you actually want to watch, just like flipping through channels or whatever, into, hey, I'm doing something that's at least taking a step towards what I want to do with my dream.
Yeah. So, you know, there's the real kind of practical stuff. I spend at least an hour a day on professional development. So whether that's building something in the business that isn't an urgency or working on me, I build that time out every day. So that's one thing. It's just a discipline. I figure, like you mentioned, so many people watch mindless TV for many hours. I can spend an hour making me better. And then my favorite two, though, are just almost, they seem unrelated, but they really help me in business, which is that, and living a life that I really want to live, which is that I do things like drum lessons at night, or I take short form improv classes. And these things just, like, they disrupt my brain. Instead of it racing all the time, I'm really wound up in type A. So instead of it thinking about how do I solve this problem and what am I going to do about this next thing, it just calms it. It gets me completely distracted and into a fun zone, and something that I'm loving makes my brain work in a different way. And that's really helpful. Do you do anything like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I do lots of different hobbies, from running to playing hockey to DJing to writing to, I think I have a list around here so I don't forget anything. Oh, going to school.
That's right.
I think it's important to try to prioritize things so that you can, if you have low energy at the time in which you need to do things, you know, spend that time answering emails, because it doesn't take a lot of effort, or at least cleaning out your inbox. So maybe you're not replying to the super long ones that you got to read and you're like, I don't feel like reading or writing or thinking too much. You're progressing something in your life rather than just turning your brain off. And not that there's anything wrong with that, because I do enjoy turning my brain off once in a while. But for the most part, I try to just prioritize those things, so the less energy tasks can be done in times where, like, hey, the TV might be on, but I'm not really paying attention unless something catches, like, you know, ESPN's on, something, topic mm-hmm. about the Eagles comes on. Like, oh, hey, I want to listen to that. So then I'll stop. But, you know, you kind of focus on things that don't take a lot of energy.
Yeah, you bring up something that almost circles it back to sleep, where you can do this with your productivity, where you figure out, you know, what's your lull time of the day. And for me, about 3 o'clock, that's when my energy is dipping the most. So exactly what you said, if I block that time off on my calendar as email, you know, catch up on email time, or to take calls, like if I need to be on a conference call, then I know I'll be standing up and pacing around, and I never have any energy troubles when I'm on a phone call. But if I'm trying to do focused work and stare at the screen and crank out and create, that's my really bad time of day. So your idea there is pretty cool, because you could actually block your time specifically so that it's not like your day just kind of blends into it. You're actually planning for what you do in your low energy time.
You know, it's funny, as I sit here and talk to you, I'm actually doing the bobbing thing you were just showing me. Without, wasn't even thinking about it, which is standing and just swaying from left to right and keeping, you know, energy moving rather than just sitting still.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why, for anybody listening, they may not know that, you know, when you're on a podcast, you have to keep your face close to the mic. So Joe and I were talking about how, you know, I'm kind of a hyper person, so I like to contain myself and stand up, and it keeps me right in front of it, because, yeah, I'll be all over the place.
Is there anything else that you can think of that people could do to make that spare time valuable dream building time?
Yeah, there's a book I would love to recommend. It's by Noah Scalin. It's called Unstuck: 52 Ways to Get and Keep Your Creativity Flowing. at home, at work, and in your studio. This is the coolest book. It's like, well, first, it's really great for low attention span people because you can flip through and just grab one idea. I think with the 52, the idea is it's probably just broken down week by week. You would do these activities, but I just open it and flip to something and it'll tell you an activity. Like it might be something as simple to do as do a newspaper blackout. You print out a page and you go through an exercise where you make a poem or a sentence out of getting rid of all the other space. So you just sit there and kind of zen out and then black out the entire thing. But the words that you leave behind that you don't black out have to make some sense. So you make yourself make a sentence or make yourself write a poem or something. And then another one I think was look for red today. So you might have to challenge yourself to take 5 pictures of something red. And then you're tuned into things that you normally wouldn't be tuned into. And you go through your day and you're walking around looking for things that you normally wouldn't spot. So it just changes your consciousness. And for me, they work so well because when I'm in my head, always racing and always focused on solving a problem, I need a disruption. And this is the kind of thing like this book I love because it just like the title says, it gets your brain unstuck and lets you think about something different and then kind of allows you to move into dream mode and think about more like the bigger picture stuff. Who do I want to become and what life do I want to live and what does happiness and excitement mean to me? And these kind of activities, even though it seems like a long translation, they let me free up and start to think that way instead of just in the tactics of how do I fix this thing in this second, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I always am a big proponent of taking breaks from what you're doing and coming back at a later date, but in the meantime, doing things that aren't necessarily connected. So you have a different perspective on the other side when you get back to what you were originally doing.
Yeah, that's great. And then it's like your mind's working in the background and lets you have the I'm taking a walk in the woods eureka moment or the shower moment where you go, oh, yeah, you know, there's my stroke of brilliance. And it's because you gave yourself a break. And where do you have your strokes of brilliance?
Usually right as I'm about to fall asleep. Which sucks because then you have to roll over and if you were just all like, you know, cozied up in bed, you're not cozied anymore because you rolled over and you're writing in your phone and you try not to like have the light wake up your spouse. Sucks.
Yeah. But you could wake up motivated because you have your big idea now.
Yeah, you know, it's something like I think about things in a different way. Sometimes when I'm driving, one of the things that usually hits me is like if I was looking for something on Google, but I didn't find what I was looking for because I wasn't using the right search terms. And I couldn't, for some reason, like you when you try so hard at something, you need to take a break. You need to step away from it. It'll always be like, you know, a day later or whatever, be like, oh, that's how I should have searched for it. And then I go and look, and I'm like, oh, that's exactly what I, why couldn't I think of this yesterday?
Yes, that's really cool. You know, it's a different angle. When I first met you and thought about dreaming, it just kind of made me think about living a life of your dreams in a really generic way. And the more we've talked and the more I've listened to your podcast, you know, it really can be just moment by moment, things like that, letting your brain free up from the day-to-day craziness and get into, you know, whether it's a happy zone for a minute or think big zone or whatever it is for you. Dreaming's a lot more than just, you know, the very far away. It can be the right now, just the way that you treat the right now.
Yeah, thank you. And I appreciate you listening. Actually, Lisa is going to be on a future episode of Dreamers Podcast. I look forward to sharing that with all of you because there was a lot of great information there.
Cool, thanks.
Well, I think that pretty much wraps up for today. If you have a question that you would love answered or that I could help you or have a guest co-host help you with, I would love to hear from you. And please go to dreamerspodcast.com, click on the Write to Joe button and send us your questions. Or if you'd like to be a co-guest host, just let me know. Tell me what you do and we can make that happen or be interviewed on the show as well. Well, thank you very much, Lisa. I really appreciate you coming on and I hope to have you on again real soon, like the next episode.
All right. Fun to be here.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to jay@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.